This is the beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries, number 12B, and we're on page 1224, and we are looking once again at a chart concerning the creative hierarchies, their names, and maybe most importantly for what we may gather to ourselves as any type of knowledge, will be the symbols through which they express. We've just been discussing the five-pointed star of the fifth creative hierarchy, but we have to realize that there is a problem here with the lords of the shining countenance and the lords of the dark face. The lords of the dark face could also be symbolized in a way by an inverted five-pointed star, and you know, in that you can make out the face of the devil, so to speak. You can make out the beard and the horns, as it were, of the devil figure. The upward pointed star would relate to the higher members, more to the solar angels as they are sacrificing themselves on the higher mental plane, being actually beings that are higher than mental beings per se. They have a great deal of the buddhi in their system, of the love wisdom. So with the symbol of system one in the center, whatever that symbol may be, he sometimes hints at that. Maybe later, I think later he may hint at that. It has some of the color green in it, and maybe the swastika is involved with it. Maybe I'll come back to that at some point. I don't want to go hunting for it right now, but when he talks about the various cosmic paths, we may find the symbol for system one in it. Maybe on the path to Sirius. Let's just see. Swastika. How many are there? The swastika fire extending to the periphery. The swastika. Aha. Well, there we go. Maybe we found it, possibly. Maybe. It is impossible to do more than sense the symbols of the systems past and present. Systems past and present. Notice. We have more than one system, again confirming the fact that there have been not just two solar systems. Perhaps if we could visualize a swastika of 10 arms revolving at right angles of a radiant green color, all 10 arms emanating from a central blazing sun, we might have some idea of the thought form that formed the basis of System 1, the activity system. Well, let's put that in. And let's put that in. That's on page 573 of what? Treatise on Cosmic Fire. Okay. So maybe he's already mentioned it in that way, and I guess we have to put this in blue because it is it belongs to the Tibetan. But of course, where they were human beings. They carry the manifest system on a swastika. Here it is. Swastika. Of 10 arms. Okay. Perhaps if we could imagine, I mean, those are the words he used. And now let's separate this a little. Yes, and we'll put that in blue as well. So is it possible that this revolving at right angles at right angles to each other, perhaps. So perhaps it's more three-dimensional here. Because any type of revolution could be considered, in a way, right-angle revolution, but we need to have some dimensionality if we're going to accomplish this right-angle, right-angledness. The five-pointed star with the symbol of System 1 in the center. So a five-pointed star with the green swastikas in the center. That might be the symbol for the fifth grade of hierarchy. It certainly has the link with the past. And I suppose, if I were really to be accurate, I would say right angles of a radiant color green. And there go to it. Just include it that way. A radiant color green. Emanating from a central blazing sun, we're not told the color. We might have some idea of the thought form that formed the basis of System 1, and that would be a solar logoic thought form, would it not? Because that is the Lord at the who is incarnating, a solar logoic thought form. All right. Now, when it comes to the sacrificial fires or the, what's another name for them, is the lunar lords, the aspirants, or also, not too wieldy in the formatting, the aspirants, aspirants or lunar lords. I'll just say or lunar lords. Well, we have the moon, we certainly do. We have a silver moon surmounted by an equal-armed cross. Well, the equal-armed cross is generally considered the Aquarian cross, the Aquarian cross. Silver is the color of the moon, and it represents represents receptivity. Sometimes it represents consciousness. Now, as the little hat of Mercury, you know, it's Venus plus this, it represents openness to the inflow of consciousness. And can it mean that the cross is somehow, the cross of matter which blocks consciousness, is somehow superior to consciousness? In other words, this is not a self-conscious hierarchy, and the cross of matter is higher than the receptivity represented by the moon. Well, that would be the case of the unconscious elemental life. We do have the unconscious elemental. No, ELM. Elemental life, or lives. There's probably more to it. What is interesting here, if you think below, the moon rules the Aquarian hierarchy, as we see immediately below. Well, we don't see that, but we will in just a second if I open this up. Notice Aquarius is this the energy of this hierarchy. It's ruled by the moon and violet. So it has something to do with the etheric nature. You see, although among the five non-sacred planets, the moon represents the dense physical body, here it doesn't. And the devas that are found on the four ethers, they're called violet devas, they have the moon on their forehead, which is interesting because it says something about them having foreheads altogether, right? So something about their structure, which is not totally unrelated to man's structure. But let's just say the moon can represent a etheric energy as well as the dense physical energy. And a lot of the mischief done by the Black Lodge is working in the ethers. I suppose with the, well, I'll just say this, working with etheric energy in a negative way, and their magic is lunar magic, and they work in the realm of the moon. So the moon is also related to ether. But of course, it's got to be veiling a different planet, and in this case, we might find, the moon is the hierarchical ruler, but it, in a way, it veils all three planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Vulcan. So, Where are we? Good question, huh? So the silver moon surrounded by an equal armed cross. I'm reminded of that shield of silvery metal or a plate held above the male figure in the law of the lower four. The moon is can symbolize receptivity. And let's put it like this. If in this case, by the hierarchy, okay, Aquarian hierarchy, if in this case the moon is etheric, then there is the idea that matter is stronger than the vitalizing power of the ethers. So, the moon represents different things, you know, grossly physical, or as I've tried to explain here, etheric in nature. Whenever you see a cross above something, like the cross above the circle, you know that matter is triumphing over spirit, and that is one of the symbols of Mars. When you see the circle above the cross, you realize that spirit's soul has triumphed over the cross. In this case, we have the crescent of receptive consciousness and matter above it. So this tells us of quite quite blind elemental lives. Right. And I begin to see something also here. I know I'm writing far too much in a skinny place, but the moon is four, and the ethers are four also. So we have the cross is four as well, but the cross is four for a different reason. So we have the instinctual nature above the ethers, which can transmit the higher energies. Well, you see the point that I'm trying to make. With the baskets of nourishment, they're also etheric. And this is so interesting. The man is reversed with his eyes closed. The eyes closed, it looks like a good Masonic symbol. I don't want that. What do I want? Yes, I want to get back here. Yes, there we are. This tells of relatively blinded lives. They still have to be directed. They are elemental in nature. They are not Devic in any high sense, but they are still higher than the lives that they animate, which are really inert. And now the man is reversed, so the man is upside down. And the man is Aquarius. He's the water bearer, but he is in no position to do anything but receive. Eventually, he has to be righted or set upright. I see what the problem is here. There we go. Eventually, he has to be set upright. So there are very few astrological signs which have a human being. The brothers do. It's an air sign, Gemini. And so does Aquarius. But here, we have Aquarius in no position really to serve, but only to be served. So a man reversed, presumably upside down with his eyes closed, it tells somehow of the deep immersion of spirit vitality into matter. The deep immersion of spirit vitality into matter. It is, in a way, Aquarius reversed. And these are the blinded lives. Of course, as I say, they're not as blind, not as inert, not as unresponsive, because they are the vitality at the heart of every atom. But the atom is also composed of a denser type of material, which really is, in a way, electronic, or somehow it's not the positive nucleus. It is more akin to the electron. Well, you know, this is difficult material, and we've managed to make some very long, skinny columns here. But I've tried, in a way, to discuss what the symbols might be. And if I were to, I don't think I can do that. I'd like to be able to go all the way down here. And what would happen if I put this on another piece of paper altogether? Yeah, I see what happens. What happens is that the closed 12-petal lotus, the seven-colored spheres, I would like to be able to eliminate this altogether, make it wider somehow. But I don't think I'm going to be able to do that right this moment, so I'm not going to trouble myself with it. I think we've given a fairly, some indications, let's put it like that, some indications of the meanings of the names of the hierarchy, their hierarchies, their numerical correlations, the kinds of the distinctions between the types of energy and force which animate them, without necessarily being able to tell the particular planes on which those forces are active. Some indication has been given. There are forces which pertain to the cosmic physical plane, and they may simply be called energies, cosmic energies. There are forces which contain pertain to the cosmic physical plane. They are called cosmic forces. And there are maybe aspects of Fohat. I couldn't say. We're talking about cosmic electricity. And they perhaps pertain not just to the cosmic, not just to the cosmic physical plane, but to the other cosmic planes as well. The sixth cosmic Shakti, the seventh Shakti, or type of force from out the many. There are forces which are coming straight from the cosmic planes, and here we may be talking about the cosmic astral plane altogether, but, and there may be a link, in fact, with this sixth cosmic force or Shakti, or the first aspect of the sixth type of cosmic electricity. There may be a Fohatic link, and Fohat is active on other cosmic planes. So there's no real clarity here. What there is a distinction between types of forces, noting the nomenclature, the terminology, without being able to tell exactly the origin of these forces, cosmically considered, whether strictly speaking from the cosmic physical plane only, or whether from higher cosmic planes. I do believe that when you look at this sixth cosmic force or Shakti, or the first aspect of the sixth type of cosmic electricity, an origin on higher cosmic planes is definitely suggested, also with the number seven. So I want to mark that down and say that, yes, for this creative hierarchy and the next, an origin of its energies on higher cosmic planes than the cosmic physical plane is definitely suggested. DFL, I'll bet. DFL? Yes, definitely. Okay. Well, sometimes when you're dealing with very abstract matters, you are happy to leave them for future study. DK has told us much about the hierarchies, but when he begins to speak about the particular forces they wield, we are really into cosmic matters, and the symbology certainly can be connected with things we do know, but refers, I think, to many things that we do not know. We certainly, excuse me, we certainly see here that man is meant to be connected with the Son of God, and the relationship between the fourth and second ray is definitely suggested with the Buddhic field in which man is to express, characterized by the fourth ray, but also by the sixth principle, which expresses buddhi, or the second ray of love, wisdom. So the two and the four are definitely connected here with man, and Mercury, another Buddhic planet, is the ruler of the hierarchy. Well, it's an intricate web of interrelationships, and all I feel I've succeeded in doing is perhaps to point present thinkers or thinkers in the future in some directions which may be fruitful if we're looking for a constellation, the constellating of thought, the intuitive constellating of thought. Right. We are attempting to provide a direction which will lead to the intuitive constellating of thought, thought that reflects truth and the archetype. All right. We're going to close on this, I think it says. Let's see what this will mean. I'm going to make this just a little bigger. Okay, how about that? In closing, we might give certain of the symbols for the 12 creative hierarchies. Maybe certain of the symbols, not all, perhaps. It is not possible to give the symbols whereby the adepts know them. Oh-ho. So, the plot thickens. For in those symbols would be revealed much that is deemed wiser to guard in secrecy. How very careful, how very careful the masters are about knowledge. But the symbols, as they are found in records accessible to disciples, and I assume who can read on the inner planes, may be given, and from a close scrutiny of these, some knowledge as to the essential character of the hierarchy may be revealed. The inner symbols would reveal the essential character. But we will have to see whether we can fathom any of that. The symbols for the five hierarchies who have passed on, and remember that hierarchy number five has not quite passed on. A ball of green fire with three rays of rose. Well, and this is called intelligent substance. And we have the third ray expressing, and its number is also 12, as well as 1. Well, definitely connected with the previous solar system and with its color green. I think, when we look over here, yeah, we're definitely seeing that the second system embodies the green swastika of the first manifestation, but adds to it concentric and interlaced circles in blue. No question that we are living in a blue solar system now, in groups of three linked by one large circle. Ah, perhaps I once commented on this earlier in the book, I wouldn't want to have to do it right now, in groups of three linked by one large circle. Well, I guess the four different elements can be found in groups of three. One thing that strikes me here is the interlaced circles of the etheric body of the solar logos has been discussed. That is the way that that etheric body is either appearing or is to appear, not in a group of triangles. So the circle is the more perfect figure. And maybe maybe these interlaced circles have a relation there. Okay, so this, now, the three colors of rose. Now, what we are reminded of a solar plexus connection. And I think, you know, you can think of this, that the solar plexus is, I think it's in Treatise on Cosmic Fire, solar plexus green, and I think we'll find it there. A solar plexus, 10 petals, rosy, of rosy color with an admixture of green. All right, so this is on page of 168, and remember this, remember. So, here we are. Right, here. RM, remember, this description of the solar plexus in man and see the same colors. We have green fire with three rays of rose, and in the solar plexus of man we have rose with an admixture of green, do we not? Okay. Now, I'll bring these down a little bit lower and this a little bit higher. Okay. So, we have the memory of the earlier solar system, and I think I'll just make this as if it is smaller. So we know it's a quote. And we're dealing with silver. No, that's not the one I was supposed to do. No, this is the one I was supposed to do. Oh, we'll keep on moving back. There we go. This is the one that is to be done. To be made green and smaller. And to give us the quotation here is on TCF 168. Okay. So there is a somehow a solar plexus connection. There's always a connection between the three and the six. There is always a connection between the three and the six. So the third ray is found here in this group of unmanifested hierarchies, and the number 12, in which 6 is included, and Pisces related to water, bringing in the sixth ray, and also the second. So somehow this rose, you know, these are thoughts I'm having as I go, obviously, 3 and the 6, the rose color suggests the astral plane or the cosmic astral plane. When we read later of the second path of magnetic work, which deals with transmitting energies from the cosmic astral plane, we will see again the color rose very strongly represented in different shades. So here there's some sort of manipulation which is going to connect with our own astral plane and with the substance of that astral plane. And yet we are dealing definitely with intelligent substance from the previous solar system. Let's see if there's anything else that can be said there. Pisces is matter, water is matter, but Pisces through its sixth ray is also connected with the astral plane. Anyway, excuse me, we do see the connection of the green and the rose, and the green of the of our particular solar plexus chakra connects it to the third aspect of divinity. So there is a connection here in this symbol, both to the third aspect of divinity and the second aspect of divinity via the sixth ray. Now, obviously, you know, we'd have to ponder a long time to really understand that more fully. A ball of green fire, it's in motion. Fire is always flaming, so it can't just be a green ball. It's got to be pulsating with some sort of a flame connected to the third ray, and three rays of rose. So it is the idea of the three is important, and connecting to the sixth ray, which is definitely under the third. We have to remember that as well. The sixth ray is definitely under the third ray. We've understood how that works. The third ray of Brahma contains rays 4, 5, 6, and 7, and there is a special relationship between them. So I think this is going to have, there will be an astral connection between the cosmic astral plane and the systemic astral plane. S-Y-A-P. Systemic astral plane. Okay. I better not go too much further with that. We do see the color connection, and we understand substance, and we realize that the sixth ray is still under the control of the third ray. And since the rosy color is to be achieved on the astral plane, and it already exists with this particular hierarchy, then there must be a connection. There must be a connection between creative hierarchy, what should we call it, unmanifested creative hierarchy one. These are the unmanifested creative hierarchies. All right. Just take me a moment here. Right, so there must be a connection here between unmanifested creative hierarchy. Now I have it. So now we're going to make this just a little unmanifested creative hierarchy. Un-M-C-H, U-M-C-H, U-M-C-H, and that will be the singular. And unmanifested creative hierarchy. Manifested creative hierarchy. Right. And let's see if there is one for manifested creative hierarchy. MCH? Yes, there is. MCHH, MCH. Manifested creative hierarchy, MCHS. Good, both. All right. So there must be a connection with unmanifested creative hierarchy 1 and manifested creative hierarchy 6. And it would be an astral connection. Intelligent substance is the very basis for the functioning of the Lunar Lords. I guess they are substantial beings, and they are the etheric power behind all objects of any kind, including, I suppose, the elementals, the aggregated elemental lords. They are rather higher, though, than hierarchy number 7, which deals only with the atomic elementals. All right, that's enough, probably enough. A sphere, the next one, is the unity through effort. Okay. Right. Divided, a sphere divided by a taw in, or tau, in colors green and silver. Now this is not so easy. I think it's not easy at all. The color, again, we have the suggestion of the third ray colors. We have green and silver, but silver is distinct from gold, and green is distinct from blue. A sphere divided by a taw, and maybe a tau, and is the tau of green and silver, or is the sphere? In any case, green is the color of the third ray, and silver the color of the moon, related directly DRL. I'm going to make an abbreviation there, DRL, and I'll say directly, directly. That's a word I often use. Related directly to the third aspect of divinity and to matter, to the third aspect of divinity. Okay, but now, why Aries? Unity through effort. It's divided by a tau, and it suggests that on the other side of the division is a whole semicircle. So we don't know which way is divided, horizontally or vertically, probably horizontally. On the other side of the division is a whole semicircle. Let's see if we're correct. Yeah, this is interesting because the colors are not especially connected with Aries at all. But unity through effort, it's as if the third aspect of divinity must make an effort to achieve relation with the second aspect of divinity. These are monastic beings. These Kumaras have mastered Manas in a previous solar system. They have kind of a cosmic form of Manas they are expressing, but they're on the cosmic astral plane. So the colors green and silver suggest the past, and also the tau is a kind of a third aspect cross. It is incomplete. It needs the higher principles connected with it. So there seems to be here a movement towards sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb, which Aries represents. It is the fourth ray. There is a division. Is it fourth ray? Yes, it is. It is fourth ray. The ray energy is the fourth. A division must be overcome. A division must be overcome. A unifying must occur. And this is done through that quality so common to Aries, which is effort, which is assertion. Now, can we link this directly with any particular hierarchy in the lower worlds? It's a 4 and it's a 2. And it's an 11 as well. I think I could have done more here, because we could link the 2, the 4, the 11, And, I see how we did this. Right. Okay, so the number 2 can be linked this way, but 2, 4, and 11 can also touch on other hierarchies. It can touch on the divine builders. The 4 can touch on man. The 11 can touch on the lunar lords. There's all kinds of intricate webbery we can do here. But is there any particular connection which is very, very strong? Well, I'd have to ponder on this longer than I might. Let's just say that the number 2 here is, I think, very related to the fourth creative hierarchy demonstrating the fourth ray. It's very connected to the human hierarchy and also to the hierarchy of human of prototypes of the monads. So I would say this, that this this creative hierarchy is very connected to manifested creative hierarchy 2 and 4, both of which have much to do with humanity, with the expression of humanity on the cosmic physical plane. Well, we're just following the numbers, really, you know. Sometimes they say in politics, if you want to know what's going on, just follow the money. And maybe when we're thinking in esotericism and occultism, if you want to know what's going on, follow the numbers. Maybe that's the way it could go. Okay. Well, you know, one has to leave these things, and I am very sticky type here. You know, I want to ponder on it until it absolutely yields more. But if we can make some connection here, some connections with these symbols, the bird with plumage dark, which is suggesting ignorance, well, not exactly, but darkness is the opposite of light. And remember, this is going to be a Taurus hierarchy, right? With the eye of radiant fire. Now, the eye of the bull is Aldebaran. It's a supergiant star. It's many, many times more luminous than our sun. It has a lot to do, Aldebaran and the eye of the bull. Eye of the bull. And what we're... Okay, let's see. Eye of the bull. No? Okay, eye of the bull. What we're going to be dealing with here is what's called light through knowledge. So it's bringing... why the dark plumage of the bird? Is it obviously a contrast between the dark and the light, and the possibility of giving illumination. And again, those words were light through knowledge, through the acquisition of knowledge, light increases. With an eye of radiant fire. Now, I wonder what we can connect this hierarchy with. Of course, the bird can always fly, or generally, there are some flightless birds, but... and I'm not sure that we're really talking about the peacock. No, I don't think so. It has to do with the emergence of light from ignorance. That is what this hierarchy is. And is there any particularly lighted hierarchy whose numbers have to do with the 5? The 3 and the 5. Well, we can immediately think of the monastic hierarchies below, the 3rd manifested hierarchy, and the 5th creative hierarchy, and the 10th as well. So these, because the 10th is, in a way, the fifth manifested creative hierarchy. So there are connections. This is a very monastic combination, we might say. Here we have a very monastic combination related to the triads and to the Makara. And the triads, okay, and thus to Saturn and to Venus. And this creative hierarchy, this unmanifested creative hierarchy is unmanifested creative hierarchy is ruled by Vulcan, the hierarchical ruler of Taurus. So these are all in their own way light bringers. So Venus and Vulcan have much to do with the light, and Venus and Saturn to do with Manus. The eye of the bull may be connected with Vulcan, the radiance of the eye of the bull, there comes a time when the third eye shines forth. I keep on thinking of the St. Paul experience, where he is blinded by the brilliant light, by the brilliant light. And so we have especially the giving and bestowing of light. And the fifth creative hierarchy that is manifested bestows light on humanity. And the third creative hierarchy is connected with higher Manus. So this is about light and intelligence. And the numbers are particularly, numbers are 3 and 5 below and 3 above. But also 5 above as well. 5 above as well. Well, you can just feel the what is hidden, you know. You can feel the presence of what is hidden to the somewhat, well, it's just called very veiled mentality. Let's go further. This is Gemini desire for duality, and it's a 4 and 6. So here we are. Desire for duality. We have a 4 and a 6. Desire is the 6, and duality, the Gemini. It's the 4th down, and of course, Gemini, and also the opposites, which have to be reconciled by by the number 4. Two stars of vivid rose linked by a band of violet. Well, the key here, desire for duality, 4, 6, and also 9, it's going to be linked to the number 9 below, to the human hierarchy, which is very much Gemini, because the human being is a dual manifestation especially. Duality is very strong in the human kingdom. So it's going to be linked to the 9th creative hierarchy below, which is the human, which has sponsored this expression of duality in the human kingdom. When I say sponsored, I mean which lies behind, supports, and sustains. The two stars represent Gemini. The vivid rose suggests the astral plane of the cosmic astral plane. It's very connected with astrality, and perhaps with the conflicts that arise from astrality. But our key, our task is to link the brothers inseparably, and hence we have the seventh ray band, which is like the Antikorana, but ruled by ray 7, by violet. Of course, this will also link with the violet of the moon in the seventh creative hierarchy manifested, as we see here, right? Right down here. The violet color is found here. Another air sign, interestingly enough. So there's the desire for duality, but there's also the fusing and meeting of duality. When we have the seventh ray, then the highest and the lowest meet. Highest and the lowest meet. All right. So the seventh ray brings the opposites together. And that's what we need when we're talking about the fusion process, where the brother in heaven and the brother on earth are united. But of the systemic astral plane, we learn it is the plane whereon the dual forces can be found. And let's check that out in a treatise on white magic. Dual forces, and probably right here we have the dual forces of the plane, whereon the vital power must be seen. The dual forces of the plane, whereon the vital power must be sought or seen. So the dual forces of the astral plane we're talking about. And we're talking about linking also the dual forces of the astral plane and also linking the cosmic astral plane with the systemic astral plane. I think this is fairly clear, and on path 2 this is done. And I think on path 2, am I correct in thinking that there is a constellation, magnetic work. Okay, let's call it path of magnetic work. Okay, path of, let's spell that right. Path of magnetic work. Let's see how many times it is mentioned. Here it is. The source, there it is, an unknown constellation via Gemini, and that may be Libra. Later we're told, but notice Gemini is included. So, on the path of magnetic work, is that right? Path of magnetic work. I think I should have definitely had that as a path of magnetic work. This will be the path of magnetic work. Gemini is involved, definitely. So you see how these ideas come together. On the path of magnetic work, Gemini is a source. And the Gemini and the path of magnetic work involves the relationship between the cosmic astral plane and the systemic astral plane. And the color rose shows this. And the path of magnetic work is pursued by fifth ray monads primarily. So we have a number of ideas which can be significantly constellated, I think. So let's just say, is it probable, probable that on the path of magnetic work, the hierarchy, creative hierarchy, unmanifested creative hierarchy 4 will be involved in the astral exchange. That's what it really is, astral exchange of this path, because in a way we're substituting higher astral kind of love for the lower type of astrality. And that involves a strong technical understanding. So later I think he tells us that Libra may also be involved, but Gemini definitely is. A lot of the Venus-Gemini situation, he said, I think, is responsible for much of the suffering that occurs for man on the astral plane. Oh my. Well, we come to there. I feel better about this constellation. I feel better about this constellation of ideas. They do seem to fit into a pattern. And this is desire for duality. Who would desire duality? Who would desire duality? And why? Only if access to a higher pole could improve the condition of a lower pole, then we would have a reason to desire duality. So perhaps there's something here about bringing a connection between the cosmic astral plane and the systemic astral plane, with benefit to the systemic astral plane. And I would say benefit to our planetary logos of Earth, which is ruled by Gemini, and Gemini involved in making it a sacred planet. But there is a struggle now of our planetary logos on the cosmic astral plane. So something, so his astral condition needs tranquilizing, and perhaps unifying through the dynamic of unity through effort, which because unity through effort is occurring on the fourth subplane of the cosmic astral plane where his struggle is going on. But here, this duality of a higher and lower astral is facilitated by those upon the fourth, upon the second path, the path of magnetic work. Of course, I realize I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but as long as the creative hierarchies are suggesting this, I might as well mention it, because, you know, if you don't mention it, it gets lost. And even if it gets lost to your own mind in an associative sense, it's down. I mean, at least it's there for someone to pick up. So what we're doing is making here a network of interrelations, which, as I say, may yield significant patterns which are reflections of archetypal purpose and therefore are true. All right, we have to do one more here. It's not really on the seventh subplane yet of the cosmic astral plane, but it's tending that way. Even we might wonder whether the Christ has some degree of access to the cosmic astral plane, even though he has not refused association with the cosmic physical plane. At the seventh initiation, it seems that you can. So this, the key here is mass life. Searching for my red bracket, right? Well, why not just make one? That's the thing to do, and then use it. So, mass life. I think we're here. Mass life. And the numbers are, well, it's a 7, and also a 5. a 5, a 7, and an 8. And, of course, what would this connect with? This whole group would connect with the solar angels, 5, with, well, just counting down, with the baskets of nourishment, 7, but also with 7 above, and with the triadal lives, the triple flowers, 8. But also, see, if we start taking the connections where 3 numbers are listed together, like in this case, it's the 5th unmanifest creative hierarchy is manifesting the 7th ray, and it's 8 from below, then we have to go down onto the cosmic physical plane and connect all those numbers, and that would be an even greater type of connection. I don't want to get into that because, you know, it's just too complicated, and even if one could think of possible connections, it might not be too profitable. But there's an egg, you know, an ovoid. An ovoid is an egg. An ovoid is an egg, and something is coming to birth in one of the maternal signs, Cancer. Cancer is a sign of birth. Sign of birth. In other words, the we had the birth of the human kingdom under Cancer, very much under Cancer. And I wonder if we're having, in a sense, some kind of birth related to creative hierarchy 5, the Makara, sponsored in a way by this group. It's an ovoid of color indigo. Now, indigo is interesting. Indigo is the esoteric color of ray 5, but also the color of Venus, ray 5 again, and of ray 2, in which both Venus and Neptune, the hierarchical ruler, participate, because, you know, Neptune has that ray 2 monad, and Venus also an ultimate ray 2 monad, I would say. They're both monadically identical, it seems to me, with 5 letters or symbolic words within its borders. And you wonder about these letters. The 5 letters, have they encapsulated the 5 Kumaras and their quality? Are they related to the 5th creative hierarchy of solar angels, the Makara below? There is something here about love and mind, the manifesting of love and mind, because Neptune veils the Christ, and the 5 is monastic. So they are higher prototypes, of the 5th manifested creative hierarchy, the Makara, who also deliver love and mind. Only they do it through, the lower ones do it through Venus, and the higher ones do it through Neptune. And the 8th unmanifested creative hierarchy, well, it's not the 8th, it's the 5th unmanifested creative hierarchy. Yep, that's it. I knew I had done these at one time. Better than typing the whole thing out if you can remember it. The love of the fifth unmanifest creative hierarchy is cosmic love of the cosmic astral plane, at least soon to be, once it is liberated. But it certainly has access already, once it is liberated. The love of the fifth unmanifest creative hierarchy. Whereas the love of the fifth manifest creative hierarchy is still solar systemic, finds its source on the cosmic physical plane. So it's a higher order of love and mind. But the union of love and mind of Christ and the number five is given here. And let's say the illumination in love of all that the word mass signifies is indicated here. Yeah. These hierarchies, I know I'm over time. I'm over time, but maybe these hierarchies are also classed together and viewed as one. Well, you know, and are called in esoteric parlance, we might even say that the fifth manifest creative hierarchy, no, that's the first. The fifth manifested creative hierarchy somehow contains or expresses the attenuated vibration of the five liberated creative hierarchies. Ah, that looks like a good one, doesn't it? Five liberated. Is there anything there? Five liberated creative hierarchies. There it is. So the fifth or the tenth of the manifested, right, somehow express the composite of the five. So they are a kind of a an encapsulated instrument for some of the vibration of these five liberated hierarchies. What are they're classed together and viewed as one, and what are they called in the esoteric parlance? Something probably far too abstruse to understand at all. The lives of that which appeared, rotated, and gathered to themselves the fifth aspect of Mahat. Well, let us try to remember just above, we had something about Mahat. And here it was, the fifth force, or Mahat. So we have the crocodiles, or the perfect ones. I have to remember that idea of the perfect ones, because that is also definitely connected with the solar angels, more so than the crocodiles. I would tend to say, you know, to make it clear to my mind, I would tend to say the perfect one and the crocodiles. Or the crocodiles. So the fifth cosmic force, or Mahat. So let us see what it can mean that they rotated and gathered to themselves. That which appeared. So we're talking about that which is manifested. It appeared before. The previous solar system appeared before this one, obviously. It was a system concentrating upon manifestation and rotary motion, the ray 3, right? It rotated, and it gathered the lives of that which appeared. So, we had three types of lives. Now, in my view, intraplanetary Kumaras, which gathered to themselves an aspect of cosmic mind called Mahat. And this aspect related to the fifth plane of the previous solar system, the mental plane. The emphasis then was more upon a lower mind as an instrument of a manifestation, and for the acquisition of concrete knowledge. So the lives, so they are called the lives of that which appeared. That which appeared was the previous solar system under the third ray and gathered, rotated. That the solar system rotated how many times? Or does rotation simply mean completed its cycle? Rotated and gathered to themselves a type of Mahat which they can express now. Maybe they are one of the reasons this fits with the idea that fifth ray monads, that's first ray monads, fifth ray monads. Okay, we need that one, don't we? Let me get that. Oh, must have that, fifth ray monads. And there are definitely, he tells us about them. That means people whose monadic ray is the fifth. He even uses the word people. This fits with the idea that fifth ray monads gravitate to the cosmic astral plane for work with the lower, with the systemic astral plane. So Mahat has its place. Mahat has its place on the cosmic astral plane, and the presence of these beings, these five Kumaras, may make it possible for these monads of the fifth ray to do their work. There is this connection. This is one of the more satisfying connections of the fifth ray of Gemini, of the cosmic astral plane, of the five Kumaras. This is one of the more satisfying constellations of thought. Others are just indicative and not yet satisfying. So I think we just break off now. About time, isn't it? Well, no, one has to do a little more. This symbol... Which symbol is that? Is that the symbol, this symbol of the lives of that which appeared, rotated and gathered to themselves, the fifth, that, is that a symbol? So is the sentence above a symbol? Is the sentence above a symbol? Which signifies the liberation achieved and the gains attained in System 1. Yes, takes the form, here it is. There's no need to look for a symbol, here it is. When it said this symbol, I thought it should be say the symbol, takes the form of a blazing altar of pure fire, out of which is escaping a bird of green and gold plumage, gold, a bit of the red mixed with the yellow, maybe that's more orange, a gold plumage with five wings outspread. And above this symbol appear certain hieroglyphics in the earliest Sensa script, as there are probably later, are probably later Sensa scripts, signifying still I seek. I would say that love must be added to the Mahatic achievement of of this group. Still I seek. So they have acquired much of Manas, obviously. A blazing altar of pure fire, of what color, in which is escaping a bird of green. So at least the mind is flying, and the golden plumage, which is suggesting illumination, okay, with five wings outspread. Oh, it's a glorious symbol, but when green is involved, you know, it's the first solar system, isn't it? Purifier of what nature? Maybe, I wonder, is it fire by friction? Out of which is escaping, because that, in a way, the fire of intelligence, with gold plumage. Green is intelligence, and gold, gold suggests illumination of the mental kind. With five wings outspread, so this is the five liberated creative hierarchies. Five liberated creative hierarchies. Those are the five wings. And above this symbol, certain hieroglyphics, still I seek. Well, the five will seek the seven, which will seek the nine. And thus, the progression of the three major solar systems. Oh, my. Oh, my. What can one say? All right. One can say that this is the end. This is the end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries number 12B, page 1225. Not exactly making great progress here in terms of pages. And beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 13A, page 1225. Okay, we'll let it go at that. And I've run over quite a bit here, but I wanted to stick to the subject and stay with this rather than breaking. You know, once you're warmed up a little bit, if you have to break, maybe a day even, we have a broadcast coming up, then the ideas are not so retrievable. So that'll be it, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.